It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Hold on to your seats. Now, experts are saying that parents should not change a baby's diaper without first getting permission from the baby. Yes, you heard me correctly. The recommendation comes from early childhood development researchers in Australia's Deakin University. Australia! Not quite the days of Crocodile Dundee anymore, is it? I know he was a fictitious character, but he was reminiscent of the Australian hero. Boy, this gives whole new meaning to the phrase, down under. Here's what the researchers are saying. Get down to their level and say, you need a nappy change, and then pause so they can take this in. Then you can say, do you want to walk or crawl with me to the changing table? Or would you like me to carry you? Now you're listening to this, wondering if I'm reading from The Onion or the Babylon Bee. I am not. You're thinking, but Bob, infants can't talk, so they won't be able to understand what their parents are saying. They won't be able to give any kind of response. Silly you, the geniuses from Australia have guidance. Observe their facial expressions and body language to check if they understand what is happening. This can be a time to help children learn about consent and how their bodies work. My friends, this may be the first time the subject of a news story so accurately describes the caliber of a news story. The story itself is a piece of diaper fill. And that's not the word I wanted to use, but I am on the radio. Just when you thought things couldn't get any stupider. While we're at it, I'm sure somebody will also figure out that you should ask your cat for permission to change his litter box. Well, why not? If the inmates can run the asylum of the Democratic Party, why not let a baby run things at home? You can arrange these days to have a child's gender changed without his parents' permission, but you need a baby's permission to change a diaper. Welcome to the 21st century. There is other news. It's not much better, but it is far more dangerous. Our Democrat senators and congressmen have put together a video reminding all soldiers in the military to be sure to disobey orders that are not legal. In other words, orders from Donald Trump, the commander-in-chief.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly. Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad, but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you. We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
Supposedly, we're all supposed to fall out of our seats because included in this group who made the video were people who served in the military. All right, now let me say something about this. I have a great respect for people who serve in the military or veterans who did serve in the military. I honor them. I honor their service. I tell them that whenever I run into them. We all owe a great debt of gratitude to their courage and sacrifice. But my friends, when two people disagree on politics or on matters regarding national defense, the fact that one person served in the military and the other did not does not automatically end the conversation. We're still talking about human beings. Human beings are fallible. Human beings, according to the Bible, are sinful. Human beings often have disingenuous agendas. Being a veteran does not exempt you from that flaw, particularly veterans who are now politicians. An argument needs to stand or fall on its own merit, and it needs to be accompanied by those stubborn little critters called facts. Fact. Nowhere in that video did we hear exactly what Trump's illegal orders were. Oh, we know the people who made the video don't like Trump. We know they can't stand Trump. That doesn't make his orders illegal. That just makes his orders something they don't prefer. And some liberal narcissistic judge overturning one of his executive orders doesn't make Trump unconstitutional either, especially from the same people on the left who call the Constitution a living, breathing document, which is newspeak for the Constitution means whatever we decide it means. Not that the brilliant actors in this video haven't since tried to explain. I love the explanation on Fox News where Martha McCallum interviewed Jason Crow, Democrat congressman from Colorado, who served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, I guess we better listen to him then. Thankfully, there is a news service like Fox that asks people to back up their outrageous accusations. Let's listen in, because I think Martha did her job very, very well.
Reminding them of their obligation
from the commander-in-chief that we are asking our military to carry out, are you objecting to? It was so vague in this video. I don't think people could figure out what you guys were all talking about, honestly.
Martha, Donald Trump has made a series of very disturbing comments and suggestions that would violate U.S. law and put our military in terrible positions.
Again, we're getting nowhere because you're not talking about an order.
I don't want to wait until that happens to remind our troops of their obligation, because then it'll be too late. We are standing by our troops and our amazing men and women in uniform to remind them
who sign up every day, as you did, to carry out the orders of the commander in chief. We are not engaged in new wars.
Catching this? Trump hasn't ordered anything illegal yet, but previous disturbing statements sound like he will do that sometime in the future, and we want our soldiers to be ready. Hello, hello, McFly. Soldiers already know that. They know they are taking an oath to obey the Constitution. They also know they are taking an oath to obey the commander-in-chief unless he is disobeying the Constitution. But for this determination, we need proof, not political innuendo. Did these same self-righteous geniuses ask the military to disobey Joe Biden when he commanded them to get the COVID vaccine or resign? Are these same town criers reminding governors and mayors of sanctuary states and sanctuary cities who are in violation of federal law and direct violation of the Constitution that they are giving illegal orders? The mayor of Chicago justifies his defiance of Trump by claiming that by going after illegal immigrants, Trump's only intention is to go after people of color. You see, he's a mind reader. He says Trump won't accept the outcome of the Civil War. Ladies and gentlemen, what exactly caused the Civil War? Well, the issue that divided the country was slavery, but it became a civil war because states in the South decided to disobey the federal government and in so doing secede from the Union, kind of like sanctuary states who ignore the federal government. Well, they don't ignore the federal government when they want money. They just ignore the federal government on everything else. These are the same blowhards who tried to accuse Trump of insurrection on January 6th. even though all he did was ask his followers to peacefully protest on behalf of recounting an election result. So that was insurrection, but encouraging soldiers to disobey their commander-in-chief, that's not encouraging insurrection. This is nothing more than one more way to get Trump. They tried to create the Russia hoax. That failed. They tried to remove him with impeachment. They tried to send him to jail when he ran again. They tried to remove him from the ballot when he ran again. They tried calling him Hitler, knowing they're smart enough to know that some psychopath will take that seriously and attempt assassination. Now they're confusing service members, many in their early 20s or younger, who are going to look up with respect to former service officers, hoping they can convince these young men and women that Trump should be disobeyed and promising to have their backs. I guarantee if any soldier ever gets arrested for sedition, the Democrats who made that video will not have their backs. This taunt, this video itself borderlines on insurrection. Okay, to sum it all up, you more or less have permission now to disobey an order that you don't like from the president. You can also throw a sandwich at a federal officer. You can ram your car into ICE vehicles. You can throw rocks at ICE agents, but be sure not to change a baby's diaper before asking the baby's permission. Welcome to the age of the idiot. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions at bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear. But also party rocking around the Christmas tree. Have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Coming up soon, Thanksgiving. Well, we have an annual tradition here in the Bob Siegel Show about how to celebrate a politically correct Thanksgiving. And here to tell you all about it is our own Smiley Miley.
Hey, kids. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And even though the actual holiday is Thursday, we're going to give you Friday off, too. When you add in Saturday and Sunday, it will seem like a four-day holiday. But you would have gotten Saturday and Sunday off anyway, so it's really a two-day holiday made out of a one-day holiday. Isn't Thanksgiving fun? Thanksgiving is a different kind of holiday than Christmas. We don't use the word Christmas anymore because the word offends the five people in our country who don't celebrate Christmas. Not so with Thanksgiving, because no matter what people believe, everybody still loves to eat. So have a great time with your parents around the big dinner table, stuffing your little faces with turkey, pumpkin pie, cranberry sauce, and candied yams. And unlike Christmas, you can even say Happy Thanksgiving to every one of your little playmates. But be careful and make sure you don't tell them who we are being thankful to. Because if you did that, you might have to explain that the first Thanksgiving was made up of pilgrims who were thankful to God. And we don't talk about God anymore because talking about God makes people upset. And it makes them afraid that those who don't believe in God will be arrested and put in jail. That would never happen. But people are still afraid it will happen. And, well, you don't want people to be afraid, do you? Of course not. So don't talk about God unless you want to call him Allah. Then it is okay because people don't worry about being arrested in America for not believing in Allah. They just worry about being arrested in all the other countries if they don't believe in Allah. Now I know what some of you are thinking. What if someone asks me what the first Thanksgiving was all about? How can I explain that without mentioning God? Silly. There are all kinds of things to mention about the first Thanksgiving. You can mention the Mayflower. You can mention the pilgrims, so long as you leave out the part about them coming to America for religious freedom. Because mentioning religious freedom means we will lose our religious freedom. But there's plenty more to talk about. Talk about how wild the original turkeys were. And talk about the Indians who were friendly to the pilgrims. Calling the Indians friendly is always a smart and sensitive thing to do. Only don't use the word Indian. Use the word Native American. Then people will smile at you instead of accusing you of hate speech. Oh, one more thing. If people ask you why Thanksgiving is a holiday, be sure not to tell them that holiday means holy day. Otherwise, you'll have to explain what's holy about it, and we'll be right back where we started. Well, now that you're up to speed on your etiquette and courtesy, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric, Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books like certain movies where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. As always, Christmas bumper music earlier, even in the month of November. Hey, here's some trivia for you. How can you tell when Jasmine Crockett, Kamala Harris, and AOC are not truly in the video, but are instead AI generated? They sound intelligent. That's how you can tell. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Oh, man. Especially Jasmine Crockett. Oh, my gosh. I can't stand that lady.
Walking, talking, blithering, moronic idiot.
And the worst part is she's going to be in that government for quite some time.
Of course she is. And if you criticize her, it's only because she's black. Couldn't possibly because she's a moronic idiot.
Yeah. So you led into my first story of the night for sure. Marjorie Greene Taylor has officially announced that she will resign beginning January 5th, 2020. So we do have some time in between till then, maybe just the holiday season, basically. So a few things before I get into the details about Marjorie Greene Taylor. There's three things I wanted to mention. Number one, she is in the 14th Congressional District, which stretches from Chattanooga, Tennessee area, the metropolitan of the East and South Arc toward Metro Atlanta outlying suburbs. So it's a very, I guess, rural area for sure. Other thing to note is that while it's mostly white, the district has notable Hispanic populations concentrated around Dalton with its huge carpet industry workforce, and that's where most of the economy is coming from, is that carpet rug industry over there. They also have agriculture and a bunch of small businesses. And then the last two things I wanted to note was the Cook Partisan Voting Index rates shows that the district is solidly Republican, and Ballotpedia also says that too. It was represented by Tom Graves until his retirement in 2020 when MGT took the seat. The district is going to be holding a special election for its next candidate officially on May 19th, 2026. So those are just the quick news stories.
No, wait, they're not holding one till May, but she's resigning in January. So that leaves an open seat and gives us less of a majority in Congress.
A tiny bit.
Yeah, but we only hold the majority by a tiny bit anyway.
You think? Okay, because I thought
we only hold it by 5 or 6 seats.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought it was a little bit more than that, which
it might be a little bit more than that, but I know it's not much more than that. I don't know if we can afford this.
Well, so I was just going to say, let's focus on Marjorie Greene Taylor by herself. First off, what did you think of her, either at first or even...
I liked her at first. She was a strong MAGA supporter. She was very feisty. She stood up to the squad. But she's made some stupid comments about Israel. She's made comments that seem anti-Semitic, but then on the other hand, she's a confusing mixed bag, but she's often accused the Democrats of being anti-Semitic. She does not like Trump's foreign policy of getting into other wars. She was huge on releasing the Epstein files, and we've talked about this before. I think Trump should have just released them sooner.
I agree.
But I'm concerned that she was making such a big deal out of it. And again, my position, I said this last week and I've said this before, is Trump's not trying to protect himself, but he's probably trying to protect some foreign leader that he does business with. Mm-hmm. But they should have done it sooner. But why she had to make that such an axe to grind, I'm not sure. She's been a thorn in Trump's side. But already Trump's saying nice things about her again.
Yeah. So, well, I will say this. I did mention this last hour. As soon as she announced her resignation, they asked Trump, I know, on the media press, and he went, what, you mean Marjorie Traitor Green?
He did. But then since then, he said she's been a good leader and we owe a lot to her. So Trump will change his tune and confuse people quite often. People never know what to expect from him.
We were talking about it last hour with Dave Stahl, where I said, it's very interesting about the Elon Musk situation. Elon Musk was literally calling Trump a child predator, for goodness sakes. And yet now they're back to being buddy buddies again all of a sudden. So
yeah, and he's great friends with Marco Rubio. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz is a big supporter of his. Ted Cruz called them the vilest names during the 2016 election. Understandably so, because some of the things Trump was saying about him. But it's really interesting. Trump takes this tactic that it's easier to win flies with honey than vinegar, which is probably why he allowed Moncami to come into the White House. And I thought that was fine. That didn't surprise me. I don't think that afterwards he had to say he's going to be a great mayor of New York City. I don't need to hear Trump call this communist a great mayor. He's not going to be a great mayor. But the fact that he was meeting with him, when he'll meet with Putin, when he'll meet with Rocket Man in North Korea, that didn't surprise me. That was very Trump. He'll do those kinds of things. So the fact that he insulted Green and then said something nice about her, that doesn't entirely surprise me. I wish this hadn't happened, because I don't want to see the MAGA movement split by this, but there is a lot of anti-Semitism that's splitting the MAGA movement. That causes me grave concern.
And on top of that, I'm not sure if the next candidate's going to be just as strong as Marjorie Greene Taylor, mind you, too.
No.
Or at least definitely not as outspoken.
Well, I'm glad it's a Republican district, but look, if we're going to go 5 months without that, what happens when someone else insults Trump that's a Republican? Are they going to get whittled off too? We can't afford this.
And not to mention, you never know what the swamp's going to be doing to that Republican candidate. They could turn into a rhino so quick when they get over there.
Or they could just go in there. Did you say it was Georgia that she comes out of? Yeah, yes. Well, they cheated a lot in Georgia in the 2020 election.
That's
and
correct.
The 2020 Senate races, they could do it again. So I'm very concerned about the midterms coming up and starting to wonder if we're even going to make it to the midterms. We lose Congress and they'll accuse Trump of having stolen somebody's peanut butter and jelly sandwich when he was in kindergarten and they'll impeach him over that. We've got to be very, very careful.
Very much so. I do want to say a few things about Marjorie Greene Taylor. I have positives about her for sure, but I do have some negatives. So let me...
Is it Greene Taylor or Taylor Greene?
It's Marjorie Greene Taylor. Did I say... I should have rephrased it. It's MGT. And he said Marjorie Greene Traitor too. He said what Trump
so
said.
So it is
so
Marjorie Greene Taylor. Taylor. Yes. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was Marjorie Taylor
Greene. No, it is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Sorry. Okay, I did say that wrong. Sorry. Okay, so Marjorie Traitor Greene. He did say that wrong. So
I gotta admit, even though I wish he wouldn't insult people so much, his insults are pretty clever.
Yeah. But. So if I could start off with the pros first here. I want to say first off that she really didn't hold back. Now, I'm very mixed in terms of politicians going the way that she does. Cussing, outbursts over and over. I still believe...
And our president does
He does that too, yeah.
They're watching him as an example.
As a politician, I believe there should still be some decorum in there. That's all I'm saying. Now, of course, the Democrats will also not be deplorable.
Well, the Democrats think they're learning from Trump and all they're doing is cussing, but they forget that Trump actually stands for some things, which they don't.
I do like the fact that even when there was a bunch of the rhinos in there, she still...
That's the tragedy of this. She has... traditionally backed him to the hilt.
Mm-hmm. Now, and lastly, I do want to point out is that she introduced a lot of helpful laws into our national government here. So I do want to read a few things. Number one, she introduced resolutions to impeach President Joe Biden. She also put out the Eliminate the ATF Act, which is to abolish the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Again, I don't want government controlling every single aspect of a person's life, so I'm okay with that. This one's a silly one. I get why we want to do it, but to me, I still think it's sort of silly, the Gulf of America Act. I get it. We could switch it on the map.
I don't care, but I'm fine that
she wants to rename it then. I do like this one here, the Protect Children's Innocence Act, which criminalized genitalia mutilation and chemical
100%.
Yeah, and chemical castration of minors. Making America Elections Great Again Act, which prohibited illegal aliens from being counted for congressional seats or voting
good
elections.
Common sense.
Absolutely. No Tax on Home Sales Act eliminates federal capital gains tax on the sale of primary residences. Absolutely agree to that one. Clear Skies Act criminalizes the release of chemicals into the atmosphere to alter weather, temperature, or climate. She introduced that one. And of course, the most important one, because otherwise we would not be able to hear the Bob Siegel Show, she included the AM Radio in Every Car Act.
Oh, well, then everything I said about Green, I gotta just take back right now, right?
Thank you so much, Green, for that. I appreciate you keeping us in your cars.
Thank you, but I still wish you'd stop the anti-Semitism.
Yeah. Now the cons. Obviously, I talked about, I still think that politicians should have some kind of decorum behind them. I also didn't like...
Chilis got into a physical brawl with AOC.
Yeah.
And I think Crockett also at the same time. Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the 2024 situation about unseating Mike Johnson as the House Speaker. If you remember at the time, I said, this is just a waste of our time. We should be focusing on
other things.
She
was one of the ones that tried to unseat him, wasn't she?
And she was one of the ones that introduced it, too, in the mind.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. That made no sense.
I get it. Mike Johnson was starting to flow towards like, okay, Democrats, you can have your side a little bit here and there with some things. But again,
sometimes
we're trying
you're
to
in
progress.
A position like his, you've got to make those kinds of deals.
Exactly.
Our president is the dealer in chief.
If we don't progress the country in some sort of fashion, we're just going to be constantly at a stop and standstill. And look at our government shutdown, for example.
You got to choose the hill you want to die for. There is a lot of stuff that Democrats stand for that we just can't compromise over.
And not to mention, again, there were so many laws that could have been passed during that time period, and yet you were so distracted by that.
Right.
And it failed miserably. It was a vote of 359-43. She failed miserably at that one. So, and then, of course, the conspiracy theory she came out prior to becoming into the office. I'm talking about the 2018 theme where she said that the Parkland school shooting and the Sandy Hook shooting were all staged by the government. I don't agree to that. That's terrible things to say. I don't like the 9/11 conspiracy theories that come about. I think they, again, hurt the government and, again, hurt the people, too, and the victims that were a part of it. And then the Camp Fire, if you remember this one, this was a California fire that happened back in 2019, I think it was. There was a huge, huge fire. And she said that her observations were, it it was oddly that there were all these people who had said they saw what looked like lasers or blue beams causing the fires coming from the sky, meaning that there were Jewish space lasers that were causing the fire. There were some conspiracy theories. I'd be like, okay, she's got something.
As whacked out as you could possibly get.
Yeah, there are some that were, I can totally understand, calling the January takeover at the Congress there. She was saying, oh, that's all Black Lives Matter and Antifa's fault there.
Well, there was my guest last week, Steve Baldwin. He has evidence that there was some Antifa involved. And I don't know about BLM.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it was BLM involved in there too. Again, because they usually spark, they're there.
The problem with people
things.
That come up with conspiracies about everything is there are some real conspiracies, but unfortunately it becomes like the boy who cried wolf at that point.
Absolutely. The only two other things I do want to mention here. One last con about this whole situation was the Laura Loomer situation. Did you hear about this one?
Remind me of that one.
So if you don't know, Laura Loomer is a Trump advisor. They were having a huge personal battle with each other. One of the things that Loomer was accusing Green of was saying that she had Arby's roast beef in her pants, saying that, oh, it's because I know she likes to eat Arby's all the time. It's very stupid.
Those kinds of petty cat fights we just don't need.
Yeah. Loomer said that Green was a political prostitute, saying that she was sleeping with Kevin McCarthy, and she was also a raging anti-Semite. Green criticized her, saying, again, attacking the Israel decision specifically. Again, it's the most truthful and easiest thing to say that October 7th in Israel was horrific and all the hostages must be returned. But so is the genocide, humanitarian crisis.
Well, that's the thing. She did accuse Israel of genocide, and that one I just can't get past.
I can't get past that too. Again, who is causing that? It's not Israel that was causing that whole situation.
It was defensiveness, and they were still dropping leaflets and warning people to evacuate the towns, and Hamas will purposely fire missiles out of schools and hospitals so that Israel will return the fire, and then they can be accused of the genocide.
Exactly.
And it's when the attack is retaliatory that you can get out the video cameras and film it. When it's a surprise attack, it doesn't end up on film.
It's true. So it does surprise me that Green was really, really against all these things. And again, I'm glad that she had the criticism against her for a couple of these things too, like we said, because even Trump supporters even were criticizing her for this matter. The only other thing, this is the of course moment for you, Bob. A source has said that she's extremely interested in running for president in 2028. Now, she has just put out a public statement not even an hour ago saying, no, I'm not interested in running for president.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that if someone says they're not interested in running for president, it'll never happen. Yeah.
Now,
unless she's brought in by the American people, she would be willing to do it for the American people.
Now, if I can say one last thing, this one makes more sense. Another source has said that she does want to run for governor of Georgia. That one makes a lot more sense to me, and that would make a lot more helpful.
I wouldn't mind seeing her as governor of Georgia. She can't do the rest of the country as much harm. She'll never get the nomination for president. If she did, though, and she was running against some communist socialist, I would have to choose the lesser of two evils.
Now, I will say this, too. I'm very mixed on this here. I'm going to say, if J.D. Vance decides he doesn't want to run for 2028.
Not going to happen.
I know.
But okay.
I'm just saying if. There's a 100% chance Trump will say, I support Marjorie Greene Taylor from this point on, I think. I really do think so, even after all this.
I think he would push Rubio in there if Vance doesn't want it.
Really?
I think Rubio would be Trump's next choice for president.
I have not heard his name.
Mentioned both of their names together. I get the impression he'd be just as happy if Rubio did it, but obviously the heir apparent is Vance.
Yeah, true, true. All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I have some big controversy about some local stuff, and then not to mention, I will also be talking about the Trump administration suing the state of California. I know.
Yeah,
what a
go
shock.
Trump administration. Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, A whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
Now I'm suddenly thinking of Marjorie Taylor Greene dressed up like Santa and riding a sleigh.
Well, whenever I hear that song, I think of Elf, too, at the same time with this little montage he does. So. Anyways, welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm producer Brendan with Bob Siegel, the host. One very quick news story because it kind of goes into my main topic here. Queen of the Zoo, Grandma the Tortoise, has unfortunately passed away after being at the San Diego Zoo for over a century. That's right. She passed away at the age of 141.
Wow. That tortoise was even older than Biden.
There you, that's a rarity to say about a lot of things in there.
And the tortoise would have made a far better president.
Probably would have gone up the stairs even easier than him, probably.
Oh, he could have used the auto pen just as well.
Well, this relates to the fact that the San Diego Zoo is in Balboa Park, and obviously the city, San Diego City Council, has officially approved changes to the Balboa Park and the upcoming parking charges. They are about to start here.
Charging for parking at the zoo.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Which was the best way to go into Balboa Park, because the parking at Balboa Park proper was bad. The zoo, if you were willing to walk a little, was very easy parking.
Very much easy. Free. Yeah. So starting on January 5th, 2026, the city will now begin to charge parking for Balboa Park. Residents can choose different plans this time around. It will be $30 for a monthly, $60 for quarterly, $150 annually.
Now, if you already have an annual zoo pass, which Dana and I do, do you get your parking for free?
Unfortunately not. No.
See, you can get that at Disneyland. If
exactly. You have an annual pass. Yeah. But not at the San Diego Zoo. Now, I will say this. They have the tram service. I think you're familiar with that one. They are in talks with the San Diego Zoo themselves because they are apparently independent contracts with the actual city of San Diego. I was surprised by reading that part. I thought they were co-hand with each
I'd
other.
I'd be willing to pay good money to not have to ever use San Diego's transit system.
Well, in this case, City Council is in talks to expand the tram service for further distances and also a longer schedule of running too, in case you do want to pay for cheaper parking or for that matter, free parking or walk even a longer distance to get to parking.
But you pay for the tram service, right?
Yeah, well, no, the tram service itself is free. Itself, so that it'll still stay free at least. So
you mean this? Are you saying this will be a zoo-run tram service?
Yes, that's
correct. Oh, I thought you were talking about the city.
No, the zoo one. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's kind of a separate.
Oh, so you could but. To get to the, where would the tram be? In front of the zoo by the parking lot, right?
That's where it would end up at.
But okay, so you'd still have to park in their parking lot, though.
Yeah,
right?
Or even further than that, because there's three different parking sites for the zoo.
So you're still going to pay for parking, but they'll give you a tram service to take you
in. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So this is coming off of the 2026 budget being passed, and they're anticipating that they are going to be into a big deficit. So how do we pay this deficit? Charge people more money, obviously, to help pay it off.
If we were using less tax dollars on learning our pronouns, they probably wouldn't have to charge us to park.
Now get this. This is the most ridiculous part. They hired a budgeting committee, okay? A budgeting committee for this.
Oh, great. Yeah.
They anticipate.
So why can't they afford free parking? Because they're hiring a budgeting committee.
Now, this is the best part. They at first anticipated $15.5 million in parking revenue from Balboa Park. After this past Tuesday, they said, actually, it's only going to be $2.9 million. $2.9 million instead of 15.5. I am beyond upset. And I agree with Council Member Campolil, who says, we have no idea how much money we'll actually be getting from this. It's just a projection. We could actually be losing money on this. Instead of tightening our own belt, it's tightening the belts of people that we are sworn to serve. Thank you. Thank you. How did we not plan this first before we start? Again, we're putting the, what's the saying? We're putting
the
buggy.
Cart before the horse.
The cart before the horse. Yeah. That's what you're doing with this whole situation. We need money desperately. We're going to charge people. How much? Oh, I don't know, but
we're putting the green before the tailor here.
It's As we did earlier in the last segment. That's correct. Yes. So now, again, they have these early prices right now, but now even council members are even arguing against this. And they said they want to drop the parking rates even lower, which means, again, lower payments. So now what is your plan now for this? Like, I don't get it. Are you charging us more for the trash again? Are you going to give us a higher fee for next year? Are you trying to partner up with the water and electric companies to upcharge us? Because I know plenty of other communities have announced, oh, we're going to uptick your water bills now, by the way, next year. I recently saw Encinitas is going to do it in 2027, which is great. Thanks for letting us know ahead of time, but still, thanks for raising the price. The parking passes idea was approved to a 6-3 vote with the majority winning. And I will also say that Sunday parking in downtown, no longer going to be happening. You can't have it for free anymore. They're going to charge every single day for parking now in downtown.
Well, isn't it mostly metered or
that's
parking
right. You will have to pay
but
by
even
the
if there's a place that's, oh, you mean on weekends you weren't having to pay for the meter.
Correct.
Oh, I see.
Now they will charge you now. Yeah. Officially, they did say so. And now Mayor Todd Gloria did say this. If the projected revenue falls even shorter, the city will need to find money elsewhere. And he did say, and quote, that this is going to affect the library systems as the more likely target, they said.
Oh, so now the library won't be free anymore?
No. Or again, they'll probably be taking out books, but I hope it's the right books instead of, you know.
They'll probably charge you more than what you would pay on Amazon to just buy the book.
Due to dealings at City Hall during the budget process, 17 of the city's 37 library branches are open on Mondays, recreation center hours, city-owned lake access, and other park recreation services were some of the last things to be added on the budget, thus making them more likely to be the first ones to be cut if budget cuts are necessary. Another idea that was given out to another city council member, I think it was the same one, he said, we have too many city employees, so let's just get rid of that, cut some city employees then.
Well, I don't have much trouble believing we need to cut city. There's probably so much bureaucracy, they probably could cut a little bit.
Absolutely, but no, apparently Elo Rivera said, the idea that we have the things we want by cutting city employees is just not true. There are no city services without these city employees. I think city residents carry the burden of the city. Because we're a tourist destination. We need more resources, and I think it's fair to expect non-residents to pay for those resources, too. But
now, obviously, if I was working for the city, this would bother me. I'm not insensitive to that. But we have so many redundant positions in any government bureaucracy. I don't care if it's state, national, or city.
I tell you what, we hire Elon Musk in our government.
Yeah, let's
doge the city budget. And then I'll tell you what, we won't be in a budget deficit anymore. I'll tell you that.
Well, according to Elon Musk, in a few years, nobody's going to even have to work anyway because everything's going to be robotic and AI.
It's true. By the way, do you believe Trump with his tariff residual checks to us? Do you believe that? Because I remember we talked about this earlier.
I believe Trump would really like to do that. Now, there are some people saying if you do that, it's going to drive inflation up. Sometimes those kinds of viewpoints in the economy confuse me a little bit. I guess
the way they're thinking is
if there's more money, there's more supply and demand and therefore higher prices. I guess that's the way they're thinking.
And again, everything that you do with the economy, there's always going to be a cause and effect to it. Always,
but you know
always.
What? It's strategically. Just imagine in the midterms, they say, hey, we sent you $3,000 from our tariffs. That's going to go a long ways to securing
maybe
the midterms. It's
but
a smart
at the same
thing
time,
to do.
How much of a debt are we in as a country? I'm trying to remember. We're
in the
trillions.
But he's bringing in trillions of dollars as a result of these tariffs.
I know, but these $2,000, I'm not saying there's people in need that need that money. I can vouch for
that. I agree that they don't need to send it to everybody. They should just send it to people in need. That I agree.
Yes, that's
I, for example, probably don't need it. But well, I wouldn't want to discourage an admirable impulse, though. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of it.
Bob, if you do get it, if you want to send it over my way, Bob, just say it. All right, we're going to
I don't need it, but I will happily take it. Not for me, but for the American people.
Well, on that note, we're going to take one more commercial break, and then we're going to be talking about an upcoming lawsuit coming over to our state.
reader enthusiasm for the dangerous Christmas ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh, as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle jangle, oh what a beautiful sight. So jump in bed and cover your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, a lawsuit has been filed Thursday in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of California that is alleging that practice harms their U.S. citizens and encourages illegal immigration to take in-state tuition inside our state of California. What a surprise. I know. We were helping illegal immigrants.
Well, all this talk about how Trump gives out illegal orders. What the heck is legal about any of this stuff? Why aren't these governors accused of doing illegal? Legal things.
They're never, because again, they're able to get around the whole mainstream media. And
then some judge takes their side.
Yeah, exactly. So
and you always hear these people pay their taxes like everybody is. No,
they don't. That's not.
First of all, to pay taxes, they have to have a social security number. And if they get a social security number, they're identifying themselves as illegal, or they have a fake social security number that they're stealing from somebody else. Second of all, our tax dollars are paying to give them their free state tuition.
Yeah, exactly. So this is coming off of President Donald Trump's administration filing similar lawsuits in other states. This is including Illinois, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Kentucky, and Texas. And again, they're suing specifically the University of California and California State Universities. Supporters of the state tuition helping the illegals say that they are not violating any federal law when they provide the same rates
except to U.S. citizens. The law about being here illegally.
Exactly.
They don't have to hold up a bank to be violating the law.
They argue that they said being residents of the state and graduating from one of their high schools makes them a U.S. citizen. That does not make you a U.S. citizen.
They just make this stuff up as they go.
100% they do.
Tired of these guys running our country.
I want to look at the U.S. Constitution and say, because you graduated from a U.S. high school, you're a U.S. citizen. That's it. You officially passed it.
And these are the same people that want to give them free health care. That's why our government was shut down for 2 months. Yeah.
They also argue, the California Dream Act allows students to apply for state funding financial aid.
See, that's a sleight of hand when they call them dreamers, because dreamer is a nice word. We all like dreamers. Just because they call them dreamers, that doesn't change the fact that they're here illegally.
Not to mention, again, it's California Dream Act. Federal law trumps state laws. You have no argument against this. If Trump says you can't do this, you're not allowed to do it. It's just simple facts. No matter
Trump, the president who trumps.
Exactly. Attorney General Pamela Bondi said in a statement, "This marks our third lawsuit against California in 1 week. We will continue to bring litigation against California until the state ceases its flagrant disregard for federal law."
Well, there can't be enough lawsuits against California.
Definitely not.
And they would hurt me because I'm a California resident.
And meanwhile, here's Governor Newsom's statement back. The DOJ has now filed 3 meritless, politically motivated lawsuits against California in a single week. We'll see you in court. Good luck, Trump. That's what he says.
Says the guy who's politically motivated to disobey these laws because it'll look good on his running for president resume. Yeah,
exactly. And not to mention, all these universities, I don't know if you've been seeing in the stories here, but admissions and actually like applying to these places have decreased immensely. Like, especially, like, I saw a recent story. Sonoma State is right now in talks of getting rid of their athletic department. And that's what like really brings in the people to go into the actual universities is an athletic department, mind you.
Now, so, why are they getting rid of the athletic? Does it have to do with the trans situation or is it unrelated to that?
No, unrelated to that. It's mostly funding. They're not getting enough students going to the school. And on top of that,
look at the garbage that they teach there. And I'm, folks, yes, I'm not down on universities. I have 2 degrees, but they teach garbage these days.
I agree. And not to mention, the University of California said in a statement too, stating that while we will of course comply with the law as determined by the courts, we believe our policies and practices are consistent with current legal standards. This is also following another lawsuit in which the Trump administration has won, where they had to pay off a $1 billion fine because of the allegations of anti-Semitism and illegal consideration of race admitting students, including that whole Nazi situation at UCLA that happened over on that campus, causing damage to the students as well.
Yeah, so, but you know what the dangerous words were, and we often miss it. Of course, we'll comply with the law as determined by the court. It's not the purpose of the courts to make laws. Those laws are already in the Constitution. A 10-year-old could read it and understand it.
Not to mention, the Trump administration offered the UC system, hey, we'll lower the fine or we'll help you pay it off in some sort of way in order for you to get through it. And UC and the governor both said, no, absolutely not. This is our problem and we're going to take care of it. And obviously you're not taking
care of it. Because they're friends and peers. They want them to pat them on the back. Exactly. That's who they're playing for.
Well, Bob, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
You
this
too,
Thursday.
Brendan. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and we'll see you all next week.